Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. Portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 16, the verses 1 through through 16. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 16, the first 16 verses. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that he told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, a sorrow hath filled your heart. And nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Thus far the scripture reading. But let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal we may come up to thy house on this holy day of rest, and when by renewal we draw nigh unto thee with our unclean lips, then it behooves us to acknowledge thee for the manifold blessings, the many good things which thou grantest unto us and our children in this dark world, in this evil time. And, Lord, then we have to confess no worthiness, forfeited, undeserved, sinned away. We are transgressors of thy law. We weary thy patience, and we abuse thy gifts. And to that end, Lord, we humbly beg of thee, of thy mercy, of thy special favor, of thy abiding presence, that thou may work in this evening in the hearts of young and old for the conversion of sinners and for the welfare of thy Zion. And then the seed of thy holy word may still be sown. To that end, wilt thou remember and help the consistory, where also tomorrow evening the catechism classes and the confession of faith class, they hope to commence. Who is sufficient unto these things? To that end, wilt thou grant much prayer, looking unto thee, love, instruction, wisdom, and a sense of a holy urgency. And, O Lord, may this simple instruction, may it be blessed, may it please thee to grant a special season of thy free and sovereign grace, that the seed of thy holy word may fall on hearts prepared by thee. It is written in thy word, Paul is watered, Paul is planted, Apollos is watered, but it is the Lord that granteth the increase. It is written in thy word, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Wilt thou remember the students? Wilt thou grant them thy help? The one has more talents than the other. Wilt thou grant them diligence and grant them prayer together with the family circles? Then in this week, house visitation also hopes to commence. Lord, may it be profitable. May it please thee to add thy blessing. Remember the families of the consistory, when many evening wives and children are alone at home. Wilt thou grant them thy blessing, and wilt thou help them. Wilt thou also bless the instruction in the family circles, the instruction in our Christian school. Remember all those that labor therein, and wilt thou grant traveling mercies from day to day. We commend unto thee the Sarah circle, when they also hope to meet for the first time in this week. May they be a serving Abigail's with a heart full of love and compassion and a word to speak. We commend thy church all over the earth unto thee, the established churches, the persecuted church, the Jewish people, also mission fields, also our mission field. And then we humbly ask thee, Lord, the labors are manifold, the labors are few. Well, thou grant more servants for thy vineyard, teachers for our Christian schools, and a church worker for our mission field. Then by renewal we commend unto thee our classes, when it hopes to meet in this week. All the circumstances are known unto thee. May there be much prayer. May thy help be experienced. We commend unto thee two old mothers in this week who hope to commemorate another birthday, a mother in our care home together with her husband. They are becoming frailer. The other mother with her husband may still dwell in their dwelling, may still go in and out. Then thou wast spared them both hitherto, together with their husbands. Well, thou grant a good and special day. We commend them unto thee, for body and for soul. We remember all the widowers, all the widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the grave. Well, thou continue to uphold and strengthen. May the callings be sanctified. May it please thee to grant traveling mercies to a mourning family after a long time of waiting, to attend the funeral of a dear one. Do remember, uphold, and bless the calling, and bless thy holy word. We commend unto thee the handicapped ones. Remember all those that have difficulties of the body, of the mind. Remember the sick relatives, the crosses and the burdens. Remember all our family circles. May love abound between husband and wife, between parents and children. May thy word have a central place. Well, thou keep us from all the sins and temptations of the time. They are so manifold. Where the love has waxed cold, well, thou grant repentance, what has been separated, bring it together. Remember all those that are struggling with addictions and with temptations. Oh, do remember and do deliver them. We remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Well, thou continue to provide the daily bread for our family circles. Well, thou grant that dependent life, needing thee day by day, give us this day our daily bread. We may acknowledge thee that thou wast given unto the farmers such beautiful opportunity, where most of the crops may have been harvested. May there have been soft and humble hearts under all thy goodness and under all thy mercies. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may open thy word, that thou may bless thy word, Give some words to speak, to remember all the hearers. Help our little boys and our little girls to listen and to understand. Thou needest not so many words, but that their hearts may be touched and their hearts may be renewed to fear Thee, to love Thee, to hate sin, and a heart that needs to be washed in the precious blood of Thy dear Son. And what the little boys and the little girls need, we all need. There can be those wandering thoughts, worldly thoughts, tiredness of the body, the cares of the time. May it please Thee to grant a little rest in Thy house. May our eyes then be upon Thee in this evening hour. Wilt Thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 438, the stanzas 3 and 4. God's law, a perfect whole, is saving to the soul, and every seeker tries His testimony sure. Whichever shall endure will make the simple wise, and what follows. Psalter 438, the stanzas 3 and 4. Thank you. this evening hour that with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, the Lord's Day 2, the question and answers 3, 4, and 5. Question 3, whence knowest thou thy misery? Answer, out of the law of God. Question 4, what doth the law of God require of us? Answer, Christ teaches us that briefly, Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and the great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Question 5, canst thou keep all these things perfectly? Answer, in no wise. For I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Lord's Day number 2 speaks of the knowledge of our sin by the law. 4 thoughts. First, the necessary preaching of the law. Secondly, the honest mirror of the law. Thirdly, the perfect requirement of the law. And fourthly, the dreadful disobedience against the law. The knowledge of our sin by the law, the necessary preaching, the honest mirror, the perfect requirement, and the dreadful disobedience. Thus, first, the necessary preaching. Beloved congregation, what is thy only comfort in life and death? The first question of our catechism, we have heard it last week, and how is it now being with that question? Have we been exercised therewith, being on our knees? We have heard of the blessed portion of the sheep, of the Good Shepherd, and those are blessings that comfort we need. Shall it be well for time and eternity? We have no continuing city, and may the Lord bless it by the application of the Holy Spirit, that many souls may be made restless, filled with the holy jealousy, much at the throne of grace, asking if they may belong to that blessed people, to receive that comfort. Then we have heard of precious things in the past week from Lord's Day number 1, and also profound and precious matters out of Psalm 23, the blessed portion of the lambs and the sheep of the Good Shepherd. And now the question is, How do we now receive that comfort? How do we now become a lamb, a sheep of the Good Shepherd? It is free and sovereign grace. And what is now necessary to be known, to become partaker of that comfort? And then what the answer in this evening, then we must examine each of our hearts, whether these things are still completely strange to us, or whether there is a beginning. Because people, there must be a beginning by the free grace of God. In temporal life, when someone becomes partaker of a special blessing, or their crops prosper in a special way that it is seen, then many times the question is asked, how did you obtain it? And what about the cost? And now in the catechism there it is declared how the Lord works, how He grants that comfort, and the cost is not a hindrance. Because it is free and sovereign grace, Isaiah 55, without money and without price. Then in question and answer 2, then the instructors have spoken of 3 matters, and those matters, misery, in Lord's Day 2 through 4, deliverance, Lord's Day 5 through 31, and gratitude in the Lord's Day 32 through 52. When we consider these 3 matters, then boys and girls, you must understand it right. When the Lord converts a person, then it is not that first a time of misery, and then we are finished with our misery, and then a time that we experience deliverance, and then after that deliverance, gratitude. No. These matters, they are experienced continually when the Lord works by His free and sovereign grace. When the Lord begins, we have to do with our misery that we have sinned against such a good and just God. Then the Spirit grants that grace of hope in our heart. We do not know how, but we receive a hope that we despair not, that with the Lord there is mercy, must be shown to us. And then when the Lord draws by those cords of love, then the gratitude that becomes evident in our life, because it is written, by their fruits ye shall know them. When we read our catechism, and then the Lord's Days 2 through 4, they speak the first part of the misery of man. But then each time by renewal, then the instructors, they are given to speak of that misery by renewal, that they may extol the free and sovereign grace, the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Lord's Day number 23, where it speaks of the justification of the sinner, there they have declared grossly transgressed all the commandments and still inclined to all evil. And we can remember from Lord's Day 51, the part of gratitude, the Lord's Prayer, when it concerns the 5th petition, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, then we have heard not to impute to us poor sinners. And thus, concerning those three parts, it is experienced by a child of God, although when they may be led further, experienced in different ways, nevertheless experienced. I read in Zephaniah 3 verse 12, I have left in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And now concerning these three matters, as then it pertains not in the first place to the depth, but to the truth of the matter. The Lord is so free, and the one He draws more, and the other one He drives by the law. But the God's true people, they shall experience what a great depth, and oh, what a great depth they have been delivered from. I read in Lamentations 4, verse 9, that those are more blessed that die by the sword than by the hunger, but they shall both die, that room may be made for that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the children of God, as a rule, the deeper they may be led into their mystery, the more profound their revelation shall be in Jesus Christ, and the more tender the life shall be in the way of gratitude. Whence knowest thou thy misery? What kind of knowledge are the instructors speaking of? That is an experiential knowledge, a knowledge that the soul shall experience by the work of the Holy Spirit. There is a great difference whether we visit someone who has an operation and they tell us of the symptoms, of the pain, of the difficulties, how they have been put out, or whether the doctor says unto us, my boy, my girl, older one, you need a serious operation. There is a difference whether we read a book of a faraway country that is so different than our country, with the weather, with the animals, with the climate, or whether we visit, whether we live in that country itself. Thus, an experiential knowledge. Not to despise an historical knowledge, because the Spirit works by word and by spirit, and then it is necessary that the word is applied to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thus, that is also a fitting message in this evening concerning historical knowledge. How do we look at historical knowledge? Do we think it is very important? Somewhat important? Or not so important? Because we do need that historical knowledge that does not bring us in a saving relationship to a triune God that is indispensable. But how do we now look at historical knowledge? That is a necessary question. When another season of instruction may begin with our youth. In this morning hour, we have mentioned a shepherd's son that he needed to practice much with his rod, that when he would become a full-fledged shepherd, that he could throw that rod with great precision. We have mentioned in this morning that there is spoken in the Scriptures of the rod of his word. And then it is so indispensable that our youth, our children, our young people, that they are instructed in that historical knowledge with the prayer that it may be blessed in the midst of the church for the upcoming generations, and that the words may be sanctified, applied by the Holy Spirit. The students, parents, may that be impressed upon all of our hearts that we need to be grounded and founded in the truth of God's holy word. In the time of the Reformation, then the Reformers stole the Scriptura. Oh, they have stressed the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, but they have emphasized the necessity that the people, that they would be instructed out of God's holy word, the doctrines declared in God's holy word, how that the Lord saves his church. To that end, the Reformers, they have spoken of the necessity of schools. They have written catechisms that especially the youth may be instructed. Thus, young people, parents, I hope it may be impressed upon all of our hearts the necessity also of an historical knowledge. No, with that historical knowledge, we cannot meet our Maker, but the Lord has not only decreed the end, but he has also decreed the means. And to that end, our calling with the talents which the Lord has given unto us, that we are diligent in listening and memorizing, and that we come on our knees. We read in Hosea 4, verse 6, usually only the first part of that text is mentioned, but we shall read the whole text. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then there is added, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. As seeing thou hast forsaken the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. What a profound text, the necessity that we are taught concerning the way that the Lord converts his people according to the word of God. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Then the law has different functions. In our Lord's day tonight, for the uncovering of our sin, as we read in Romans 3, verse 20, in the second place, as a schoolmaster, a tutor, to bring to the saving knowledge of Christ, because the law thunders, the law condemns, and when the Lord works, oh, it is true, a sinner shall try to save themselves by the works of the law, but by the further uncovering, forever impossible, because it is written in Galatians 3 verse 10, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the law of God. In the third place, in the part of gratitude, and Calvin has added for the good order in society. The question could be asked, why did the instructors now not broadly deal, because we have heard in the part of gratitude, then the instructors have spoken of each commandment separately, very specifically, the positive required, the negative forbidden. Why has that now been done in the part of gratitude and not in the part of misery? We can give different reasons. Because gratitude in the life of God's people, that glorifies the Lord. And let us add, when the Lord begins that good work, and when He draws by the cords of love, He sheds that love abroad in the heart. And when it is so tender, oh, it is true, there can be many a struggle that we try to justify ourselves. But when it is tender, then sin indeed becomes sin. But alas, later in life, when it is not so tender, how necessary that the law is explained in its depth and in its broadness continually. The necessity of the preaching of the holy law of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. And now it is necessary that we become the sinner. I read in Matthew 9, verse 12, they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick. And in Luke 19, verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ has come to save sinners. Great sinners, chief sinners, have you become such, congregation? Have you really become a sinner that has sinned against such a good doing and such a just God? How does a sinner learn it? Our second thought. The honest mirror of the law. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Do you hear, congregation? Thou and thy. That is personal. A pointed question. Does not at the moment your neighbor also need to learn it? But the catechism is so personal, house visitation, whence knowest thou thy misery? In question two, then there is spoken, how great my sins and miseries are. Through our deep fallen Adam, we have all come under the consequences of sin. What a misery upon the world. we do not see half of it. And the miseries, the consequences of sin, because I read in Matthew 24, verse 12, when Christ has spoken of the signs of the time, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And we see the consequences, the misery in this world. The Lord will not be mocked, that it is greatly on the increase. But our instructors, when they are given to ask, whence knowest thou thy misery? And that word misery, that has the connotation to be an exile. The same as Absalom, after he has committed a great sin in the family circle, that he was exiled from his father's house for a certain time. Whence knowest thou thy misery? And our misery that consists of blindness, that by nature we do not really realize how miserable that we are without God, without Christ, without hope in the world. And if we are not converted, what shall it be to spend an eternity in hell? Thus delusion, darkness, unable to deliver ourselves, guilt against the law of God, against His justice, and punishment. The answer out of the law of God. Which law are the instructors pointing to? Because the older ones, we know that unto Israel the Lord has given a threefold law. The civil law, that was for the ruling of the country, a theocratic nation, directly governed by God, related to Moses, and also that civil law that also shows unto us our fallen state, that so many laws are necessary that mankind may be controlled a little bit and not live out what they are. Then in the second place, the ceremonial laws, they were the laws of Israel's religion. And also the ceremonial law, that is showed unto the children of Israel their misery and their sin. Because when an animal was brought, then the offerer had to lay his hands upon such an animal, and then that animal was killed, the blood is flown, then they were given to see that animal sputter, and that was all because of their sins. And then the sacrifice pointed to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which He would shed when He has come upon this earth. But those laws were only for a time. The ceremonial laws, they have come to an end when the veil of the temple was rent. Then the Son, in that perfect sacrifice, has brought about a righteousness for His church. The civil laws, they have come to an end when Jerusalem was destroyed in the year AD 70. But the moral law, the Decalogue, that means 10 words, the 10 commandments, they are everlasting because they were written in stone. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. Maybe our children can remember from the last time the simple example that we have given to explain to us how that the law teaches us our misery. Then the holy law of God can be compared to a mirror. And boys and girls, a mirror never lies. Can be sometime on a hot summer day when boys and girls have become dirty, and at night when they need to be washed, that they try to tell their mother that they are not so dirty. But when we may look in the mirror, then it tells us who we are. And now we can all understand what is now necessary for us and our children to look in a mirror and see who we are. Of course, not a perfect example, because a mirror only tells us what is on the outside, but it does not show our thoughts in our head or our desires in our heart. And now to look in a mirror, then two things are necessary. In the first place, then we need eyes, because you can put a mirror before a blind man or woman and they will not see anything. Thus, in the first place, to have eyes. Bartimaeus, that blind man, he is sat on the way where Jesus was passing by, and he has cried that the Son of David may have mercy upon him, and that his eyes may be opened. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, that we receive spiritual eyes and that we may be given to look in that mirror, not only on the outward, but also what lives in our heart. Then in the second place, then we need light, because our children can understand it. If you place a boy and girl in a dark room with eyes and you put a mirror in front, that they shall tell us, we do not see anything. Thus then the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, and that we receive spiritual eyes, that we may be given to look in that mirror in the context of all the attributes of the Lord. That is what the Spirit uses. We read in Romans 3, verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We have heard it out of John 16, the words Christ has spoken to his disciples concerning the work of the Holy Spirit. But when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God. has that taken place in our life? By the saving work of the Holy Spirit, there's still a blessing when the Lord grants a tender conscience, still shame, a feeling of guilt. Perhaps the soul is asking, but how can we now know if it is the saving work of the Holy Spirit when the Lord begins? That becomes a very important question. Whether I have begun with the Lord or the Lord has begun with me. Whether it is on account of upbringing, blessing, when we may be instructed by our parents in the things of the Lord, whether it is because I am emotional, what is now the true mark of that uncovering work of the Holy Spirit? We read in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And that uncovering work goes in the first place, not about the consequences, although many times it pleases the Lord that He uses special callings accompanied by His holy word for the uncovering of sinners. But then it is in the context of whom the Lord is, His goodness, His justice, and His righteousness. And when that takes place, many marks of grace. Think of the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then there is that exceeding sorrow that we have grieved such a good doing and just God, and the soul shall experience with all their efforts and with all their reformation, because the true work, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us never rest only upon a knowledge of our misery. Our old fathers have stated so oftentimes that from man's side, all from the Lord's side, it lies so firm in the true child of God, but from man's side, then it can still fall either way. And in the instructors in our Heidelberg Catechism, oh, each time by renewal they stress that the uncovered sinner, that they are brought to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God for the pardoning of their sins. Let us first sing Psalter 93, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The trespass of the wicked man most plainly testifies that fear of God's most holy name is not before his eyes. And what follows, Psalter 93, the first three stanzas. Thank you. the knowledge of our sin by the law, the necessary preaching, the honest mirror, and now thirdly, the perfect requirement by the law. What doth the law of God require of us? Christ teaches us that briefly, Matthew 22, the verses 37 through 40. We read in Romans 13, verse 10, love is the fulfilling of the law. And the holy law of God that requires a perfect obedience, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, our motives, our desires. The law of God is exceeding broad. It includes everything in our life, also our religious duties. And then our children know that the law was written on two tables. That is declared in Matthew 22. And now concerning the first table, that we love the Lord above all, that we honor, that we obey, seek communion, willing to sacrifice, no idols beside the Lord we may ever love. In this time, what a privilege, what a blessing, when love may abound in family circles, but to love the Lord above all. And then four matters are mentioned. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Those words heart and soul, many times used interchangeably in the scriptures. That includes the whole person. That includes the inner man. Thus concerns our desires and our outgoings. And then further, because maybe now some have excused ourselves, but we cannot give ourselves a new heart, that is true. Hold on to that truth. May that unregenerated heart become an unbearable burden. Cry mightily unto the Lord, it is written, that those that are given to seek the Lord with their whole heart, that they shall find Him in two places in Scripture. But then there is added for examination, and with all thy mind. How is it with our mind, with our understanding? Does our heart go out after the Lord? When the Lord works by His Spirit, and then we need Him in all our ways. We seek that blessed communion and favor, and then we need to be pardoned of all our sins. And then we need Emmanuel, and for further examination, and with all thy strength. And then the second table. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thus the love to our neighbor, to seek their good, to simply explain it, Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets concerning the love for our neighbor, to rejoice in their prosperity, not to be jealous and envious when they even prosper more than we do, when we sorrow with their grief. And then to whom does that concern our neighbor? Matthew 5, verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." The preaching of the law. In Bible times, then each time we read of the enmity against that preaching, we think of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah 20, he was smitten on the cheek. In Jeremiah 38, he was put in the pit. They have stoned the prophets. When Christ has preached the law, then I read in Matthew 21, verse 45, that the Pharisees and scribes perceived that he spake of them, and they counseled to put him to death. They have nailed him on the cross. Concerning the preaching of the law, when we preach to the neighbor, then we may take delight in it and say that needs to be preached. But when it concerns us, our sin, personally, then the natural man resists an enemy of the preaching of the law. And that enmity that is greatly on the increase in the days in which we live. Then in our day, relationships, people want to feel good, that is more important than the strict preaching of the holy law of God. And further, we live in a day, it is true, we have heard it out of Romans, that love is the fulfilling of the law. But we live in a day, also in many churches, that love is promoted and preached at the expense of the law, even when it is contrary to the law. To make it clear, when there are unlawful relationships concerning the holy institution of marriage, then also many churches have come to the point putting love above the holy law of God. When there is love, then we may not condemn it, then we must go along with it. The necessity may the Lord keep us with the holy law of God, which the Lord has given to mankind in His goodness and in His wisdom, created Adam that he could fulfill thy law. Our third thought, the dreadful disobedience against the law. And then the pointed question, canst thou, boys and girls, young people, and older ones, canst thou keep all? Not some, not most, not ask whether it has become our desire when the Lord works, that becomes our desire, but that is not the question. Canst thou keep all these things, not partly, but perfectly? And then the answer is short. in no wise, for I am prone. What does that mean, boys and girls, that word prone? That means to be inclined. To give an example, there's the nature of water to run downhill. Or let us use the example of a family that lives on a road going up into the mountains on a very steep hill. Then that car is inclined not to go up the hill, but down the hill. And to that end, must be put in park, turn the wheels a special way, put the brakes on, that that car does not run down the road and that it crashes. That is the meaning of the word prone. And that is now our picture through our deep fall in Adam, that our heart inclines not toward holiness, but toward sin, not toward the Lord, but away from the Lord. And then it is a great blessing, boys and girls, when there may be those hedges, those blocks, that we do not follow the inclination of our hearts. When your parents love you, they still set those parameters. That is necessary for the whole congregation, can even be for young people that have not so many parameters. They shall not say it, but that in a certain sense, there can be a certain jealousy of sons and daughters where their parents love them so much that they are not allowed to do everything, go every place, come home anytime. Thus, prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Then I hear some children think, but in our family circle, and that is a great blessing, I love father and mother, my brothers and sisters, we have our little squabbles, but we love one another. And how can the instructor now say, prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor? That is the common goodness of the Lord. A great blessing in this dark and evil world. But that common goodness of the Lord, when he granteth love among one another, that is necessary for the world, that the church may be gathered, but that is more horizontal, and that proceeds not from a reflection and a knowledge of all the attributes of the Lord, that common love by itself, that will not draw closer to the Lord. We see many in the world, still much love and much compassion, but a departing from the Lord. And now it is necessary that by the Spirit that we are taught these truths, that room may be made for that precious Savior. Jeremiah, he has cried out that the crown was fallen from his head. Woe unto us that we have sinned, but young and old. Not reason to despair, because, in the Bible not only declared our depravity, our fallen nature, but that for the chiefest of sinners, that there is a way to escape that well-deserved judgment and be restored into favor. The psalmist has declared, If thou wouldest regard iniquity, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may acknowledge thee that thou wast given in other Lord's Day. But for each and every one of us, then it is a Lord's Day less upon this earth, and a day closer to eternity. And then we have heard a necessary knowledge. We have heard the fallen nature of man, but, Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou apply it? Wilt thou teach us? May we be brought on the school of King Jesus, and may for thy children, may they be taught deeper in these things. Grant a prayer for one another. We may commence another week. Wilt thou remember each and every one of us? Remember the mothers in the home with the children, the daytime, the night watches. Remember the mothers with the unborn. Remember on the way, wilt thou grant traveling mercies. Remember at work. Remember at school. Remember our youth who are studying in higher institutions of learning. Wilt thou place a wall round about them. Wilt thou keep us from sin and all its ruinous power. Then by renewal we commend unto thee the catechism classes and the confession of faith class. Oh, do grant thy blessing. Remember when the classes may meet. Wilt thou graciously supply for the coming Sabbath day. Bring us now safely to our homes. May we be given to examine each our hearts and our lives. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 364, the four stanzas, from out the depths I cry to thee, O let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea, have mercy, Lord, and what follows. 364, the four stanzas. I receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.